In 2 Samuel 24:1, God moved David to number Israel and Judah. In 2 Samuel 24 and verse 10, David concludes that he has sinned and asks the Lord to take away the iniquity. In 2 Samuel 24:15, God destroys 70,000 men because of David's sin in numbering Israel and Judah. Why was numbering Israel and Judah considered a sin when the Lord moved David to do so? And why would the Lord destroy 70,000 people for a sin that he obviously moved David to commit? Well, that's a really good question. I have to say, that's well thought out, and I think that somebody's been studying their Bible, and I really appreciate that. But let's look at 2 Samuel 24, 1 through 15, and read that. And then, one thing we're going to note is that this isn't the only place in the Bible where this story is told. And so, after we read here, we're going to turn over to another place and read the story from another perspective. All right? So, 2 Samuel 24, 1 through 15. Again, the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, "Go number Israel and Judah." So, the king said to Joab, the commander of the army who was with him, "Now go throughout all the tribes of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, and count the people, that I may know the number of the people." And Joab said to the king, "Now may the Lord your God add to the people 100 times more than there are, and may the eyes of my lord the king see it. But why does my lord... Why does my lord the king desire this thing?" Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the captains of the army. Therefore, Joab and the captains of the army went out from the presence of the king to count the people of Israel. And verse 5, they crossed over Jordan and camped in Aroer on the right side of the town, which is in the midst of the ravine of Gad and toward Jazer. And they came to Gilead, and then it just lists all the different places that they came to. And then let's read verses 8 and 9. "So when they had gone through all the land, they came to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days. Then Joab gave the sum of the number of the people to the king. And there were in Israel 800,000 valiant men who drew the sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000 men. And David's heart condemned him after he had numbered the people. So David said to the Lord, 'I have sinned greatly in what I have done. But now I pray, O Lord, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly.' Now when David arose in the morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, 'Go and tell David, thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose one of them for yourself, that I may do it to you.' So Gad came to David and told him, and he said to him, 'Shall 7 years of famine come to you in your land? Or shall you flee 3 months before your enemies while they pursue you? Or shall there be 3 days plague in your land? Now consider this and see what answer I should take back to him who sent me.' And David said to Gad, 'I am in great distress. Please let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, but do not let me fall into the hand of man.' So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel from the morning till the appointed time, from Dan to Beersheba, 70,000 men of the people died." So there's the story that we have. Now, there's the same story is told in 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 1 through 17. So let's turn over there and let's read that. And we're going to note a few things here. 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verses 1 through 17. Now I want you to open your Bibles there and read with me, because you're going to see there's some differences between the account in 1 Chronicles 21 and the account in 2 Samuel 24. And then we're going to understand those differences in light of what the Bible teaches in other places. So let's read 1 Chronicles 21, 1 through 17. Now look at verse 1. "Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. So David said to Joab and to the leaders of the people, 'Go number Israel from Beersheba to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know it.' And Joab answered, 'May the Lord make his people 100 times more than they are. But my lord the king, are they not all of my lord's servants? Why then does my lord require this thing? Why should he be a cause of guilt in Israel?'" Now that's an interesting statement. Keep that in mind. "Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Therefore, Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. Then Joab gave the sum of the number of people to David. All Israel had 1,100,000 men who drew the sword, and Judah had 470,000 men who drew the sword. But he did not count Levi and Benjamin among them. The king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was displeased with this thing. Therefore he struck Israel. So David said to God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing, but now I pray, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. Then the Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose one of them for yourself, that I may do it. So Gad came to David and said to him, thus says the Lord, choose for yourself either 3 years of famine or 3 months to be defeated by your foes with the sword of your enemies overtaking you, or else for 3 days the sword of the Lord, the plague in the land with the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. Now consider what answer I should take back to him who sent me. And David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great. But do not let me fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell. All right, well, let's stop there. So there are some differences between these two passages. In 2 Samuel 24, the text says that God moved David to number Israel. In 1 Chronicles 21, it says Satan incited David to number Israel. Could both of these be true? What do you think? Because a lot of times what we do is we look at the Bible and we say, well, you know, they can't both be true. It was either God or David, or God or Satan. Well, which one was it? Or was it both? Well, let's open our Bibles to 1 Kings 22, verses 19 through 23. 1 Kings 22, verses 19 through 23. And I'm going to show you how that it's possible that both of these things could be true. That God moved David to number Israel, and that Satan moved David to number Israel, and that David moved David to number Israel. All three of those things. You say, well, how is that possible? Well, let's look at 1 Kings chapter 22. Now, 1 Kings chapter 22, Ahab, the wicked king Ahab, was trying to decide whether or not to go up against a city called Ramoth-Gilead and fight against it. And he had elicited the help of Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah at the time. And Jehoshaphat wanted to hear a word from the Lord before they went up to do battle against Ramoth-Gilead. And so Ahab calls on all of his prophets, and all the prophets come out and say, yeah, go up, Ahab, you're going to win, you're going to do well, and it's going to be great. And then Jehoshaphat says, well, what about a prophet of the Lord? Is there any one of those here? And Ahab says, yes, there's one here. His name is Micaiah, but I hate him because he never prophesies good concerning me, but always evil. Well, Ahab was a wicked guy, and he needed to be told that he was wicked, you know. And that's what Micaiah's job was. And so Micaiah comes out and he says to Ahab in a very mocking, sarcastic tone, go up, Ahab, and prosper. You're going to do great, you know. And Ahab turns to him and he says, now I told you not to tell me anything but the word of the Lord. And so then Micaiah says, well, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hillside, and you're going to be destroyed as well. And then he tells us something else. He actually draws back the curtain of heaven and tells us what's going on in heaven regarding Ahab's battle. Now, this is what is interesting to me, and this is something that I think we should pay attention to and explains a lot of things. Now, look at 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 19 through 23 for just a moment. Then Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. So now Micaiah is drawing back the curtains of heaven, and he's saying, there's the Lord. He's sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven is there with him. And then the Lord says this, verse 20, who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may fall at Ramoth-Gilead? So one spoke in this manner, and another spoke in that manner. So God's purposes is for Ahab to go to Ramoth-Gilead and to fall there. And God intends for that to happen. Okay? And Ahab is also going to decide to do that. But Ahab is a very, very wicked king. He's a wicked, wicked man. All right? And so this is what happens. Then a spirit came forward. Verse 21. A spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. So now you have a volunteer. Out of all this host of heaven, one spirit comes forward and says, I'll go persuade Ahab to go to Ramoth-Gilead and to be destroyed there. And the Lord said to him, verse 22, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. And so now here's a spirit, evidently a wicked spirit, an evil spirit, who's going to go to all the prophets of Ahab and lie to Ahab about going up to Ramoth-Gilead to be destroyed. And so verse 23, Micaiah says, therefore look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. So look, did God intend for Ahab to go to Ramoth-Gilead and fall there? Yep, that was what God wanted. Did the lying spirit, the evil spirit, intend for Ahab to go to Ramoth-Gilead and fall there? Yep, that's what he... Did Ahab intend to go to Ramoth-Gilead? Yep, that's what he wanted to do. And then he fell there. And so look, all three, God, this evil spirit, and Ahab himself, they were all involved in Ahab's going to Ramoth-Gilead so that he would fall there. Now I'm going to suggest that something similar to that was going on with David. That's how we can say that God moved David to number the people, that Satan moved David to number the people, and that David himself decided to number the people. All three were involved in this in some way. And you say, well, why would God want David to commit a sin? And that's a good question. And that's an interesting question. And I think that there's an answer to that. Sometimes, and this is what we understand and learn here in 1 Kings 22, sometimes God permits wicked spirits, such as the one he permitted here, and Satan, God permits wicked spirits to act as agents to further tempt individuals who already have sin in their heart. And I think that's an important point here. David already had sin within his heart. And Joab even recognized that David had sin within his heart when David told Joab to go number the people. Because Joab said, you're going to bring guilt down upon Israel because of this. But nevertheless, David had sin in his heart and he wanted this done. Well, what God desires ultimately is that we all recognize our sin and then repent of our sin. And sometimes it takes the consequences of those sins to get us to realize the severity of our sin and how much we need to repent. And so God says, go ahead and let that person sin so that they can know that they've sinned and that they need to repent. Because that's what God wants. God wants the repentance. God wants people to change. He wants them to become more and more into His image. So yes, sometimes God permits this, not because He wants man to sin per se, but because He wants man to repent. Now listen to these comments. These come from a Bible commentator, because I have to say that I needed a little help with this question. And it is a really difficult question, I have to admit. But this is what the commentator said. Quote, these passages also show that God only instigates those who have sinned against Him to evil deeds, and therefore that the instigation consists in the fact that God impels sinners to manifest the wickedness of their hearts in deeds, or furnishes the opportunity and occasion for the unfolding and practical manifestation of the evil desire of the heart, that the sinner may either be brought to knowledge of his more evil ways and also to repentance. Okay, so that's what we're talking about here. Through the evil deed and its consequences, or if the heart should be hardened still more by the evil deed, that it may become ripe for the judgment of death. The instigation of a sinner to evil is simply one particular way in which God, as a general rule, punishes sin through sinners. For God only instigates to evil actions such as have drawn down the wrath of God upon themselves in consequence of their sin. So David already had sin within his life. Now, the second part of the question has to do with why would God destroy 70,000 people for David's sin? And the answer is kind of twofold. First of all, David was the king. And so if he committed a national sin, then the sin is to be punished nationally. And so God uses a national punishment against a national sin. But I'm going to suggest that there was something else involved here than just this one sin. That there was more to this than just David's sin. And it goes back to the rebellion of Absalom against David and those of Israel who participated in that sin. Now, there was a civil war in Israel, and you have to study the books of 2 Kings and Chronicles in order to understand a lot of this. But there was a civil war in Israel between David and his son Absalom. And there were so many people who joined Absalom's side. And then there are those who joined David's side. And because of that, that became a national sin against God. And so in addition to calling attention to David's sin, God punished Israel nationally because they had taken up arms against David's anointed. All right. Now to summarize, God permitted David to sin in numbering Israel so that David could see the consequences of his sin and repent. God also punished Israel with the death of 70,000 people due to the national sins that Israel committed under the rebellion of Absalom. These two sins were related in that David's number of Israel was to determine the amount of military that he had at his disposal. 2 Samuel 24 and verse 9. We don't know exactly what David was seeking to accomplish in numbering the troops, but Joab was opposed to it and saw it as a lack of trust in God. 2 Samuel 24 and verse 3. And even said it was a cause of guilt for Israel in 1 Chronicles 21 and verse 3. So the numbering of the people may have had something to do with maintaining control over the people after Absalom's rebellion, David not really trusting in God when he should have, and David, and also that there would be some people who had rebelled against God and who had to be punished for this. All right, so that's what I make of all this, and I hope that that answers the question. Now, if it doesn't answer the question, please feel free to write another question and put it in the back of the box. But I don't believe that this is a Bible contradiction, nor do I believe that God was being unjust here in any way. It certainly is something to study further. And if you would like to study further about this question or about any question, then please feel free to contact me and come to my office and we'll sit down and we'll talk about these things and we'll study what God's Word has to say. And together we can find God's will for our lives. And that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to study God's Word so we can understand it better, so we can understand His will for our life. Now, God wants all to repent and to come to a knowledge of the truth. He doesn't desire that any man should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. And He wanted David to repent. And He wants us to repent when there's sin within our life. And sometimes that sin has to come out so that we can see it and know how horrible it is. And then know that we truly need to repent of those sins. Do you need to repent of sin tonight? Is there anyone here who has suffered the consequences of their sin and so needs to make confession of sin so as to deal with the sin that's in your life? Are you a Christian? Do you need to deal with the sins that you have that have never been dealt with through the blood of Christ? Through hearing God's word and believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ and being baptized for the remission of your sins, you can become a child of God this very hour. And be forgiven of all those sins. Why not make a step tonight to repent and to do God's will within your life while together we stand and sing the song of encouragement?